There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
1 in 3 children in the United States are being raised without their biological fathers in the home. Anything like this comes around with the whole idea of, phrases of sorts that try and sum up trends in our times. It's been called the father absence crisis over in the United States, and there are certain groups who are working to combat the problem. This is not a problem that is specific to the United States. We're seeing similar problems the world over. According to the organization's website, Dads Count is a community coalition that educates and encourages fathers and father figures to be involved in children's lives, starting from pregnancy and going through until all stages of life. Matt Haviland is an author and member of the coalition. He says not having a father in their lives can have a devastating effect on children. Things like poverty, behavioural problems, substance abuse and even obesity can be tied directly to the so-called father factor.
Things like poverty, behavioural problems, even obesity can be tied to the so-called father factor. So while the world celebrates dads this Sunday, it's equally important to support those men struggling in those roles. I'm here this morning with Matt Haviland. He is with the Dads Count Coalition. Thanks for being with us. You want people to come out, dads to come out, community partners. Let's talk about why this is so important.
Well, fatherhood, statistics show overall when fathers are involved in the lives of their children, fathers or a father figure, the kids do better overall academically, emotionally, socially, cognitively. So that's why the name of our committee is Dads Count, because when dads are involved, we see very positive results in the lives of the children.
What do you think? What are you hearing is behind this absentee crisis?
It's been coming a long time. This is generational at this point now. And now it seems, not to put a dim mark on it, but it seems like we're so far in the wrong direction that we really need to start turning this around. It's become multi-generational. We see things like you mentioned, poverty, mass incarceration. All these things contribute to what are called adverse childhood experiences, and the more ACEs that a child accumulates, the greater struggles they're going to have throughout the course of life. So we need to start to reduce those factors and to help get men and positive influences in the lives of the kids and start to reverse these generational changes here.
And you are seeing some of that right now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Millennial generation right now, we're extremely excited. They're actually spending up to 3 times more per week, 3 times more time with their kids per week than we saw back in the 50s and 60s as well. So fatherhood is definitely, we hear a lot of the negatives, but fatherhood is definitely on a big upswing here in our nation as well.
All right. I want to talk about this event that's coming up Saturday really quick. For any dad out there struggling, give them one bit of good advice.
Oh, man, I'm going to give it 3. So to be responsible, to be involved, and committed to the best of your ability in all 3 of those aspects there. Responsible, involved, and committed, the best you can do in the life of your child, and that's really going to make a huge difference in their life.
That was Matt Haviland, author and member of the Coalition for Dads Count over in the United States. Single parents is something that has been very common, not just in the last century or so. 17th, 18th century has seen examples of it. The most common cause, death of a parent. Approximately 1 in 3 to 1 in 2 to half of all children in this era experience the death of a parent during childhood. Since then, medical advances, improvements in sanitation and maternal care have significantly reduced mortality of people in reproductive age. Now, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, in one of their more recent reports, 17% of children aged 0 to 14 live in single-parent households worldwide at the moment. Women head approximately 88% of those households. Contrary to popular belief, the majority of single parents are employed, and the largest increases in single-parent households have been in industrialized countries. So whilst there is an argument to and research out there suggesting that more and more children are growing up without a father figure, is that down to broken homes or other tragic circumstances? Because on the counter side of that, the role of fathers, as we are told, is changing quickly. The old trope of men are from Mars and women are from Venus, does that still ring true to this day? In turn, changing fathers at the moment, we're seeing more and more evidence of that. In a major study of fathers from the University of California, Findings found that men who take care of their kids on more than a casual basis undergo a transformation. They develop maternal thinking. They become sensitive and nurturing caregivers. The major meta-analysis of studies of nearly 35,000 parents by psychologists, also from North America, this one from the University of Calgary in Canada, found no significant differences between mothers and fathers in 7 critical parenting areas: warmth, nurturance, responsiveness, encouragement of dependence, restrictiveness, low encouragement of independence, and disciplinary strictness. In other words, mothers and mothers and fathers aren't on Venus and Mars when it comes to interacting with children. They're very much on the same planet. Is that something that rings true with you? Or given the fact that we live in a very time-sensitive environment, where a lot of the parental hours are taken up by work hours, is that having an impact on the dynamic at home? Your thoughts would be appreciated on this one. Sonal joins us in studio. Set out your stall now. Fathers, they still count.
Absolutely. So I was a little bit confused by this topic at first when we talked about it. I thought, of course, fathers count. How could you, you know, argue that point? But I guess with more reflection, I was musing on it more yesterday. You know, the topic of lone parenting, you know, I don't think necessarily those kids are at a disadvantage either. So how do you sort of marry those two things? And I think when I was thinking about the influence my mother and father had on me, they were so different. But maybe that's not even a gendered thing. Maybe that's just, you know, kind of it takes a village. It's helpful to have different influences in a child's life, regardless of gender, regardless of who that is.
I would like to hear from those out there that would argue their fathers have had a significant impact on their lives. Also those that maybe suggest that their fathers weren't as proactive, but have had an influence or otherwise. The bottom line, the top line question we're asking is, do dads count still in this modern age at the moment? And are we as proactive as maybe we could or should be as well? We're just discussing off air there. Our own personal situations as well. And I was put on the spot.
Yes, indeed, Tom, you're a dad. How present, how active would you say you are?
Look, I'll put my hands up and say I probably could have been there for more time. I could have been there more frequent. It's a difficult one for me. When you work in, when you do what I do for a living and you work in the media, you work fairly unsociable hours. And I've worked in radio, I work in TV, I do a lot of events and bits and pieces, I'm out and about. And so a lot of my... Not so much now at this time of year, but certainly in other parts of the year, during the season, if you like, I'm out a lot in the evenings and unfortunately the weekends as well. And, you know, times like Christmas and New Year are busy times for me. And so, yeah, if I look back on it, I probably could have been more giving and more generous with my time. And I've had a very understanding wife who's been there, and yeah, I didn't spend enough time doing bath times and bedtimes and weekends as I probably should have, but I blame it on work.
But here's a question for you. Because you were not as involved in the routine things, now you did say you make it up in sort of other moments when you can, but do you think that makes
an excuse,
does that contribute to sort of, are you the fun dad? Do you get to be the fun dad because you weren't involved in the...
No, so I'm bad cop.
Really?
Yeah, I'm bad cop. I'm the finish everything on your plate and knife and fork nice and straight, and you're not getting down from the table until you ask to, etc. I'm that guy because it's that whole just you wait till your father gets home. So the nice cop is the war office, and then I've got the bad cop as well. So yeah, there is that balance. Do you need it? I don't know. We've asked Sneha to come into the studio as well. She's looking very nervous over there, as if we're going to grill her on some very personal
Start
subjects.
Talk now.
But the only reason we've asked you in, because we were having this conversation in the newsroom a little earlier on, and yesterday as well, and you came up with a really interesting point, because this is something that you and your husband are going through at the moment, because you had similar backgrounds and similar upbringings, but different sort of roles from your parents. Is that right?
That's right. So my background, we both are from the same state in India, but different upbringing, if you look at it that way. So my father has been with us, has been a very important role. He played a very important role. He was very hands-on. He's from the military, I guess that pays. Mark's dad, on the other hand, has always had his mum do most of the work. He's just been the one who provides for the family. He's been away on work and his mum's always been there to look after them. But for me, my dad and mum both worked and both of them played an equal role in bringing us up. So yeah, we had that kind of situation where he was like, I thought the woman was supposed to do it. And I'm like, no, bringing up a child is both our responsibility. And I'm glad I've converted him.
And have you fully converted him? Is that something that has it taken some time?
It has taken time, obviously. I remember going back to India and his aunts would look at us wondering, oh, he's going to change the diapers of the baby.
Really?
Is that even allowed? And I'm like, he's equally his as he's mine. Mm. And everyone has a role to play. So yeah, it took a while. And we don't live in India anymore. Like in India, we are privileged in a lot of ways. We have a lot of help. House helps who come and people doing different roles. Mm. So it's easy for the man to say, hey, I'll just go to work.
Mm.
But that's not the case when you live in a country different from ours. And here we both have to work and do the other.
So that's interesting. So that becomes a sort of cultural argument, doesn't it, as well?
Sure.
A cultural argument in terms that if there is one person who is out earning money to put food on the table for the family, then does that give them a privilege not to change diapers and do bath time as well, because we've got to look after their interests and I'll take care of this side as well? Or is the sort of modern approach that you want to get your hands dirty, for want of a better phrase, when it comes to changing diapers?
I think it's changing now. Yeah. We have to change. We change the diapers and change the roles we play. I think it's important that... So for me, my husband's done well, I guess.
Mm.
I'm hoping he's listening to me on the radio now. So,
but I suppose what you're also suggesting there, and what is happening, is the this evolving role of a father.
The
we talk about modern family at the moment, but there is a modern father's role.
True, for India at least, in some parts where it's not the dad's role to do anything but just be the dad.
Mm.
You know, just go out, earn the money, and then just sit there around and be the fun dad, if I may say so. But the mum's doing all the hard work. But here, times are changing, so we have to do both.
Let's get some thoughts from Alina. Now, Alina is a successful and popular mum blogger here in the UAE, the author of The Diary of Mom. She's a single mum to a lovely four-year-old girl, and she joins us live on the line now. Alina, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Much appreciated. You were listening in with interest there to what the team in the studio were saying. Is there something from what you see and from your role as a single mum and the challenges that you've faced as well, bringing up your daughter, is there a modern role for a father these days? Is it necessary? Do dads count?
Oh, well, I have been a single mom for the past 3 years, you know, and I know how difficult it is for any parent to make their child understand a complicated situation. But I believe, whether by choice or by faith, all women are capable of raising their children alone, you know, even if they're working, because we tend to have a strong nurturing instinct and can emotionally connect with them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't find it difficult, you know, to raise my daughter all by myself,
yeah,
because I have my family support. And in my case, my little one doesn't know about her father much, and, you know, she hasn't been in touch with him. But she does have some positive male role models around her to show her that there are good men around.
Which is interesting, because that is the sort of father figure role that so many people talk about. Because, as you mentioned, I mean, I'm a father of three as well, and I'll be the first one to put my hands up and say the first 6 months of each of their lives as well, I was sort of, you know, I was a bit of an add-on to the whole procedure, because the nurturing comes from mother and child in those first 6 months. Fathers, if they are around, are more of a support unit. Is that fair?
But, you know, I tell you the truth, the greatest advantage of being a single mom is that, you know, with no husband and one easy child, there are no awkward dynamics and no parenting arguments. So that's good. Otherwise, you know, if I was still be married, my husband was not cooperative at all. So, you know, so it didn't make a difference for me if I'm a single mom or if I was still married.
And from the writing you're doing, from the blogging that you're doing on parenthood at the moment, is that something? Do you see this sort of this change at the moment? Do you see the evolution of the sort of family dynamic? We talk about modern families these days as well. Does our whole idea of what the family looks like have to sort of change fundamentally?
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, blogging has helped me a lot. You know, there are so many single moms out there who have come up to me, you know, they take me as their inspiration, even though, you know, I'm just an ordinary single mom. But, you know, so happy to see, like, you know, the world is changing and, you know, women are confident enough to raise their child alone.
Alina, thanks very much indeed for your time this morning. That's Alina, mum blogger, The Diary of Mum, joining us live on the line, giving us her thoughts as well. Sneha's still in studio listening on as well. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because there are so many sort of personal dynamics around the world and there's no right or wrong when it comes to bringing up children. I suppose there is this feeling now that all those roles are evolving. As long as it works for you, then so be it.
True. I mean, it's each to. I mean, there's no
each
one.
Their own.
Yeah. There's no one rule to good parenting. I think we all learn on the job. We make mistakes, but we figure it out. So everyone plays an equal. I mean, a part.
Mm.
How equal or how important is up? You know, it's something that we have to develop as we go along.
Yeah. And I suppose that the other thing is this. And you know, we, Sunil and I and others have talked about this whole idea of community parenting and the village parenting ethic that is from a bygone era, but still holds true to this day in many ways. And the role of a father figure, it might not be your you might not be your father per se, but the father figure comes from other areas or can come from other areas.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just about having different influences in your life. And, you know, again, it's not even necessarily about gender, I think. And, you know, just coming back to sort of the modern era of fatherhood, of course, it's different for each family in each situation. But I think that sort of notion, and again, you were talking about India, Sneha. I feel like I see the same thing. I went back to visit a friend in India this past weekend, and I saw sort of her relationship bringing up her daughter and her husband. And it's so foreign to me because I believe in sort of complete equality. And you could see certain expectations of the kinds of roles that mothers would do versus what fathers would do. And that father was very present, just he wasn't doing certain kinds of roles. He wasn't tying her hair up and, you know, getting her dressed for school in the morning. And those kind of tasks are still sort of divided. There are certain things, certain roles that fathers will still play in certain societies that I think is kind of a bygone era.
Mm. Apologies, I feel are necessary to our friend Zach. Poor thing, you know, here he is. He comes in to do an internship, his first shift on the radio, and he's being grilled not just about outsourcing, but about fatherhood as well. I mean, I suppose we could combine the two, can't we, Zach, as well? Would you, you know, when it comes to that stage, you just outsource it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, personally for me, I grew up with a mother and a father, and both of them had very different roles, but both very present roles in raising me. And I mean, I learned different values from my mom and I learned different values from my dad. And when I was younger, my father was the one who was working and supporting the family, while my mother was staying at home raising me and my younger sister.
Yeah.
But as we grew older and didn't need that much attention, my mother also went to work, and now both of my parents are working. However, I still get all of the benefits that both parents provide. And
take different qualities from different principles, different ethics from both.
Yeah, I mean, my mother was great with raising me, but there are certain values and things that I learned from my father that, I mean, my father is a role model. And as a man myself, I need another man to look up to. There,
like the girls were saying, was he a fun dad or was he a strict dad? Was he the good cop or the bad cop?
Honestly, both of them played both roles. It was scary. My dad would come home from work and he would be the fun dad. But if we had done something earlier that day, it's the same as you. Just wait till dad gets home.
Zach, appreciate your thoughts there. As I do, Sneha May Francis, who's popped in from the ARA News Centre. Sneha, thanks very much indeed. All the best with the ongoing journey and odyssey of parenthood.
Thank you.
Together.
Together. Make it equal.
Thank you to you for that one. We're joined by our friend and colleague, Mohammed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre, who's going to join us to talk about some of the big stories the news team have been covering this morning. Good morning to you, first and foremost. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
We've got a number of topics to get on to, but before we do that, I believe, well, thank you very much indeed for coming in the first place, because I believe you've been a little shaken this morning. Is there a good reason for that or not?
Yes, I think I'm being stalked, or either that or YouTube can read my mind. So I logged into YouTube this morning with the intention of watching three videos. And as soon as I go on YouTube, all those three videos were ready and previewed for me to watch. And not only that, they were in the exact same order that I was going to watch them. And so I'm just a little bit shaken by that, because I don't remember hinting to YouTube any time that I wanted to watch these particular videos. But there I was in the morning facing those videos right in front of me before I even typed anything onto the search bar.
Don't tell me, it was the highlights of the One Day International from yesterday.
The T20 from yesterday, correct? Yes, that's
the
T20.
Okay, so that was one.
The
so
Irish Open highlights as well.
There we go. Okay, so cricket and golf.
And then there was something work-related as well.
A little bit of work as well. So they've got you worked out, haven't they?
They have. Imagine that, yeah.
The YouTube algorithm has got you worked out.
You don't need to be YouTube to predict that.
No. Sonal Rupani could have predicted that as
well. Yeah, exactly.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? The ability that and it's the thing that gets me is this the way that they work out these algorithms, and when you get in, and it's where you go into other websites as well. You know, YouTube, you sort of expect it now because you've put a search in and whatever. It's when that information's been shared with, I don't know, double glazing from a company somewhere else, and as soon as that comes up, and they've got your cricket highlights next to it or wherever. I mean, you know where it's safe out there on the internet.
I think it's also Gmail as well, right? Because Gmail is linked with YouTube. So if you type in anything similar on Gmail, it'll give you a hint on YouTube as well to go and check that out.
So we've worked it out. Our friend Mohammed is being watched by YouTube, Big Brother and all at the moment, as are we all. Let's start locally if we can, my friend. Let's go to the airports. They are busy, busy, busy at the moment. Record weekend for the airports, and the weekend just gone with a number of people leaving the country. But you've picked up on it. You and the rest of the Aero News team have picked up on a story about them welcoming passengers into the airports.
Exactly. So the UAE has 14 spots across the country where people can fly in and out of. So these include airports, airstrips, airfields, basically anywhere registered that can welcome in an aircraft. So the GCAA says that they want to raise the combined capacity of the UAE's airports to more than 300 million passengers in the next 10 years or so. And they're doing this by investing 85 billion dirhams on expanding aviation infrastructure. So these include big money projects to make airports here bigger and better, with the hope that these expansions will be able to welcome more passengers to the airports. Now, the GCAA also released some figures on the UAE's four national carriers. Now, Tom, if you could list those four national carriers that the UAE has on the top of your head. Emirates, obviously, being the biggest one.
Etihad.
Etihad is good. Yep. Two more.
Fly Dubai
is the
Dubai
third.
And
one more, Sharjah-based.
Gulf.
Arabia.
All right, so these are the four national carriers of the UAE. And I've actually flown all four of them, by the way, so I can speak from experience. So the GCAA says that all four of these carriers have been adding between 4 to 5 aircrafts to their fleet every month. So currently they have around 500 odd planes between them, but the GCAA says that number will cross 530 by the end of this year. So the airlines currently have more than 300 aircrafts on order. So that number could really swell up in the next couple of years.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, I know that this part of the world has done well to brand itself and deliver on the message of it being a hub, a passenger hub. And I think from conversations with Paul Griffiths and the rest of the team down at Dubai Airports, listening to what they've been saying here on the Business Breakfast, but also a number of the big bods from the airlines. One of the challenges is getting people out of the airport to take advantage of the activities and the tourism sites that are available here, because a lot of people are just getting to the airport, taking advantage of duty-free, spending their time in the airport rather than heading out. And there's the main challenge. So I suppose this is part and parcel of that.
It is, and even when you look at what the RTA is doing here, there's a lot of expansions, a lot of new bridges being built around the airport, and like you said, many people are here just for a day or a couple of days, and they need to get out into the city and explore before they get their connecting flight out.
I know it's really interesting when I was coming in on an Etihad flight a couple of weeks ago, and I was coming into Abu Dhabi Airport, and they had one of those little things on the in-flight as you're coming in, and they basically just put a sort of infographic on the screen in front of you saying, if you've got 12 hours to spare, where we can sort out a desert safari experience under the stars for you. If you've got 3 hours to explore, we'll get you down to the Sheikh Zayed Mosque to see that. And giving that sort of initiative and putting the sort of time code to it sort of made sense and maybe would convince more people.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was just stopping over in the Netherlands for a little bit, I only had about 8 hours, but the guys at the airport gave me a very easy-to-follow sort of guide. Yeah. Where I could just sort of have a walking tour of the city, visit a couple of restaurants. And I did that. I only had about 6 or 7 hours until my flight. So yeah, definitely a way to get people out into the city a bit more always helps.
And we've seen that change recently, haven't we, with these new executive decisions to try and encourage more and more people to take advantage of 24-hour visas and things like that, visas straight from the airport in order for you to explore. Because I suppose that's been one of the... It's interesting talking visas. I'm talking to a lot of friends at the moment who are desperate to get over to Russia to watch the England football game on Wednesday evening. And a lot of them, you know, are willing to pay over the odds for tickets. Obviously, flights are going up as well. Accommodations through the roof over in Moscow as we speak at the moment. They're willing to do that because of the enormity of the situation. The one thing that's sort of holding them back is the visa process getting into Russia, which again is something... It's something of a shame, isn't it, in this day and age? But I understand the reasons for it as well, but especially for a big event like that, it remains to be seen. Right, let's move on to international news. We've gone from our local story. That one's available for you on the Dubai i1038 FM website, courtesy of the ARN News team. This one is there also. It's being updated and developed, not just here, but worldwide. What's the latest of the football team trapped in a cave in Thailand?
Right, so the rescue workers are ready to restart the operation to rescue the remaining boys that have been trapped inside that flooded cave since June the 23rd. Now, we know that last night, four of the boys were brought safely from the cave. That means that 8 boys are still inside, along with the coach who brought them there in the first place. Now, the divers know that they need to act quickly because they're scared that the water levels will rise again. There are fears that the mission will be ruined by monsoon rains, which are expected any day now. So I was just reading a report just before I came on air that they think that they have a 4-day window to get all the boys out. So just about 4 days to do that. So the mission was paused overnight for air tanks to be replaced, and now they're just waiting for the go-ahead to go back in and get the remaining boys out of there nice and safe.
Extraordinary scene. I was watching this sort of back-to-back with the children last night. It's, you know, it's captivated and encapsulated their attention, which really proves this sort of this human element story that this has become. 1,000 people, they reckon, involved in the relief effort in this little sort of mini town that's set up above ground.
1,000 people and many of them from overseas as well. Yeah. There's an Australian diver who's also a doctor as well, who's an integral part of this rescue mission. He's been going in and out of the cave many times. Obviously, one Thai diver died earlier this week as well, trying to get these boys out. So a lot of people involved. And I was actually just watching a live stream from the scene there. So I've been keeping my eyes on that. And there has been a lot of hustle bustle in that area. It's around 2 p.m. in Thailand right now. So hopefully that mission can get underway again as soon as possible.
That's one of the international stories that the ARN News team are following up on. They're also keeping an eye on the shock resignation from David Davis over in the United Kingdom. He is the Brexit secretary. Well, he was until he resigned last night completely out of the blue. What does that mean for Brexit? What does that mean for Theresa May? As I said, another of the international news stories that's being updated by the ARN News Centre. We are going to wrap this one up, though. Not before we have had, well, something a little bit different. I mean, it always pays, doesn't it, with a news bulletin. When you put in together a news bulletin, a little something local, a little something international, a little something serious, a bit of cheese at the end.
Bit of cheese. Are you a cheese man, Tom?
I love cheese.
Do you like your cheese?
Love my cheese.
All right,
yeah.
Then you'll be happy to know that the UAE is one of the largest importers of European cheese in the world. So new figures from the European Union find that 18,500 tons of cheese were imported to the UAE last year alone. So sellers say that more chefs here in the UAE are using the dairy product in their dishes, and this is encouraging others to experiment with their cheesy dishes. The other thing is that how do you know that the cheese that you buy at the grocery or at your local supermarket is good, authentic European cheese? Any way to find that out?
Smell it.
Yeah, that's probably one good way to do it. But there is a more official way to do it. You can look out for a protected designation of origin label on the cheese, all right? It's a big round logo that's red and yellow. You can't miss it. But if it has that particular logo on it, you know that it's very, very good. It's high quality cheese.
Which is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I was reading these figures yesterday, making my eyes water a little bit, not because of the smell of the cheese or anything like that, but more because of the numbers. And you go to brunches of a weekend, or you go to buffets around town, you see these extraordinary cheese displays, and you sort of ask the question, what are they doing with it after these displays? Is it going into other ingredients, or is it getting discarded? Beggars belief, the whole thing. But it does show there is an opportunity out there. We've seen and we've heard here on the show of people who are now harvesting oysters down in Dibba. We've heard of producers down in Abu Dhabi who have set up the UAE's first ever shrimp farm. We're hearing of producers all over the country developing foodstuffs for the local market. Surely there's an opening for a cheesemaker here.
I'm sure there is. I mean, first of all, it's not a cheesemaker, it's a cheesemonger.
Oh, very good.
It's a cheesemonger.
Yeah,
right? I've become a cheese expert overnight. But yes, I mean, especially when you consider how many hotels there are here, how many brunches happen on a weekly basis, right? There's such a huge market for fine cheese over here. And you never know, Tom Urquhart could be your man for that.
That's it. I'm going to don the white coat. I'm going to don the little the hats and all, and I will become Mr. Cheese, as if I'm not already.
Mr. Cheesemonger.
As if I'm not already. Talk cheese, might as well make it as well.
Why not?
We can't let you go without having a quick one round the table, though, because if we're talking all things cheese, and if the UAE really is such an extraordinary consumer of cheese worldwide, if you're a cheese, what cheese would you be? Or rather, what's your favourite cheese? I'm going to start with you, Mohammed.
I'm going to go cheddar. You just can't go wrong with cheddar.
Basic cheddar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You don't mess around
tangy,
too much with the cheese.
Tangy, mild.
Yeah, a little bit mild.
A little bit mild, okay.
Yeah,
not too tangy, not burn the top of your mouth stuff,
yeah.
No? Okay. So you're Mr. Cheddar. I'm happy with that. We've got our own sort of like Ocean's 11 and 8 thing going on here, yeah? We're all Mr. and Mrs. So you're Mr. Cheddar. Zach, you are Mr.?
I'd say Brie.
Mr. Brie. Okay, so got Mr. Cheddar, Mr. Brie. What about Miss over there?
Gruyere.
Miss Gruyere.
Gruyere.
That goes very nice. We've got ourselves a little Hollywood cast going on, haven't we? Cheddar, Brie, and Gruyere.
And you're Mr. Monger?
I'll be Mr. Manchego, okay? A little sort of Spanish flair into proceedings. Mohammed Suleiman, thank you very much indeed to you and all the ARN News team.
Thanks very much.
What have we done here today? Well, we talked outsourcing first and foremost. We had a quick chat with Rami Shah, CEO and co-founder of Washman.
What we've been seeing is consumers are more interested in buying back their time. So the obvious example that many of us can relate to is food delivery. So if you look back about 10 years ago, we'd spend more time going to the groceries, you know, preparing your food, spending more time a week cooking at home. Whereas now millennials and older millennials, it will be very rare to find like food in the fridge, right? I'm a prime example of that. And we're relying more on the companies like Deliveroo and Uber Eats. So we're beginning to see a very similar example trend happening in home services, be it home cleaning or laundry.
Thanks to all those that commented on outsourcing. You can continue to do so online if you'd like. Thanks to also those that commented on the role, or the modern role, of fatherhood as well. Gaurav, apologies to you. Didn't have time to get you onto the air to air your opinions as Gaurav heads out to to a new life in Canada, where he's going to be a home dad for the first few months as his wife settles into the rhythm of an academic life. We were going to get the thoughts of Gaurav. Unfortunately, time is against us on this occasion. We did have a number of text messages and calls on this one, including the thoughts of Alina. Now, Alina is a mum blogger here in the region. The blog is The Diary of a Mum. She says that children don't need a father to have a positive male influence in their lives.
I have been a single mom for the past 3 years, you know, and I know how difficult it is for any parent to make their child understand a complicated situation. But I believe, whether by choice or by fate, all women are capable of raising their children alone, you know, even if they're working, because we tend to have a strong nurturing instinct and can emotionally connect with them. I don't find it difficult, you know, to raise my daughter all by myself. I have my family support. And in my case, my little one doesn't know about her father much. And, you know, she hasn't been in touch with him. But she does have some positive male role models around her to show her that there are good men around.
That was Alina, and that was The Agenda. Thanks very much indeed for being part of it. We're back tomorrow from 10 o'clock in the morning. Just remains to me to say a big thank you to all of you that were listening in. Do share your thoughts with us at Dubai I 103.8 FM, and hashtag Dubai I 103.8 are updated throughout the day, as is the Facebook page and the dedicated web page as well. So do send us your thoughts and potential show topics for future shows through to those. Thanks very much indeed to you, Sona Rapani, for being with us throughout the morning.
Thanks.
Thanks also to Zach for joining us this morning. Zach, thank you for yours.
Thank you very much.
To Shroots for being here and being everything and producing the entire show. Shroots, thanks very much indeed to you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiI1038.com.